Last one. We have time to chant, or should we just talk? Till 12 o'clock.
We take off for lunch quickly, and then we have time to go to 6 or 7 and go. We need to be there for by around 1.
Lots going to happen in that hour. We have to be at the airport by 1. We leave here at 12?
Around 12:40. Charlie, do you finish? You're going to have prasadam at Parmeshwar Gaur space.
Okay.
And then 6 or 7. 2-3 days, not much of luggage.
I'm trusting your timing. I don't understand it, but I'll trust it. 11:40. What time is that flight? 2:40, huh? Oh, then there's time. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari.
Jaya
Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Vallabha Giri Varadhari Shashadanandana Rajajana Nanjana Shashadanandana Raja Jana Ranjana Jasharanandana Raja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachara Jaya Radha Madhava.
Sarva Kundali Hari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivana Thari Vallabha Girivana Thari Dasharana Jana Dajjana Jana Dasharana Jana Dajjana Jana
Vedanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Bhunaman Subri Braj Vipacharja Shtota Visat Shri Shimad Bhakti Siddhanta Sarshati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai. Nama Charja Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Sakaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gokopinath Sham Gun Radha Kunigiri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Tham Ki Jai Navadip Tham Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Ki Jai Ganga Mai Ki Jai Chamana Mai Ki Jai Tusi Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Gaur Premanande. This is Bhagavad Gita as it is, 7th chapter, text 26. Vedaham samatitani Vartamanani charjuna Bhavishyani chabhutani Mam tu veda nakaschana Vedaham samatitani Vartamanani charjana Bhavishyani chabhutani Mam tu veda nakaschana.
Vedaham samatitani
Vedaham samatitani
Vartamanani charjuna
Bhavishyani ti bhutani
Mam tu veda
nakaschana Vedaham samatitani
Vartamanani Charjuna.
Bhavishyani cha bhutani.
Mam tu veda na kaschana.
Vedaham samatitani.
Vedaham samatitani.
Vartamanani
charjuna.
Bhavishyani cha bhutani.
Bhavishyani cha bhutani.
Mam tu veda na kaschana.
Vedaham samatitani.
Vartamanani charjuna.
Bhavishyani cha bhutani.
Mam tu veda na kaschana.
Vedaham samatitani.
Vartamanani charjuna.
Vishani cha bhutani.
Mam tu veda na kaschana.
Vedaham samatitani.
Vartamanani charjuna.
Vishani cha bhutani.
Mam tu veda na kaschana.
Vedaham samatitani.
Vartamanani charjuna.
Vishani cha bhutani.
Mam tu veda na kaschana. Ladies.
Vedaham samatitani.
Vartamanani charjuna.
Vishani cha bhutani.
Mam tu veda na kaschana.
Vedaham samatitani.
Vartamanani charjuna.
Vishani cha bhutani.
Mam tu veda na kaschana.
Veda.
Veda.
No. Aham.
I.
Samatitani.
Completely past.
Vartamanani. Present.
Cha.
And.
Arjuna.
O Arjuna. Bhavishyani. Future.
Cha.
Also.
Bhutani.
All living entities. Mam.
Me.
Tu.
But.
Veda.
Knows.
Na.
Not.
Kaschana.
Anyone.
O Arjuna, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I know everything that has happened in the past, all that is happening in the present, and all things that are yet to come. I also know all living entities, but me no one knows. Purport. Here the question of personality and impersonality is clearly stated. If Krishna, the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, were Maya, material, as the impersonalists consider him to be, then, like the living entity, he would change his body and forget everything about his past life. Anyone with a material body cannot remember his past life, nor can he foretell his future life, nor can he predict the outcome of his present life. Therefore, he cannot know what is happening in past, present, and future. Unless one is liberated from material contamination, he cannot know past, present, and future. Can we do a mobile check? All mobiles? Silent, please. Om Ajnana Tumirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Tathati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrajatam Sahagana Raganatan Vitam Stam Sadivam Sadvaitam Sabadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Ladita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hori Priye Vancha Kulpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Vyayeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vash Adi Gaur Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vedaham Samatitani Vartamanani Charjana Bhavishyani Chabhutani Mam Tu Veda Nakashtana. Srila Prabhupada pegs this verse to the issue of Krishna's personality and his having a spiritual form. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha. The Brahma Sangita says that Lord Krishna's body is Sachidananda, transcendental. Paramam Purusham Divyam. He is the supreme transcendental person. So, Srila Prabhupada raises the question, if his body weren't spiritual, how could he know all of these things? Why do we forget? We forget for lots of reasons. But one reason is because we change our body. We don't remember our previous life. People say, well, if I had a previous life, why don't I remember? Do they ask that question? If I had a previous life, why don't I remember? Because you changed your body. When there's change of body, then there's big-time forgetfulness. Even we change from childhood to youth, and we forget so many things from our childhood. About something we remember. Not much, really. But previous life, everyone forgets. And due to our material conditioning, we don't even know what's happening now. Therefore, we're always in anxiety because we're never quite sure what's happening. What are the police doing? Are they looking at me? Are they tapping my phone? Are they looking at my mail? What are my competitors doing? What's my family doing? What is... so many things we don't know. What's going on around us? What's nature doing? Is it going to... give us a slap in the next moment, that also we don't know. We're in anxiety because we don't have clear knowledge. Suppose I come to a foreign place. If I know everything about that place, then I know everything. Like now I come through Dubai and I know exactly which line to go through and I know exactly what's going to happen and everything's clear. But if I don't know, then where do I do this and what's going to happen then, and and how do I get from here to there, and then what happens, and what if they ask me this, and so many things. A person in a strange place, where do I go? He's in anxiety. What? He has no knowledge. He has no knowledge. He doesn't know what the score is. Even now, these Americans, they take some prisoners and they send them to Guantanamo or something and essentially torture them. And what is the first step? Completely bewilder them so that they don't know what's going to happen at any moment. They don't know what's happening. They don't know where they are. They don't know whether it's night or day. They don't know who these people are. They don't know who else is with them. And because they have no knowledge, they're immediately in huge anxiety. Fear, actually. Because they don't know. Disoriented. The less we know, the more we're in anxiety. Although sometimes the more we know, the more we're in anxiety. That happens also. And the future, again, we don't know, and again, we're in anxiety. Again, the prisoners don't know whether they're going to be shot or they're going to be anything. They don't know what's going to happen next. And we're all prisoners. We don't know where the prisoners are afraid the Americans are going to do this to them or that to them. They don't know what's... But we don't know what Maya may do to me next. And therefore, we're in anxiety. The whole insurance business depends on that anxiety. Because we're in anxiety. If we knew, we'd never buy insurance. We'd buy it the day before. Oh yeah, they're a lively batch. So our knowledge, and why is it so limited? My mind is limited, my senses are limited. I can't see what's going on the other side of this wall. I can't see what's going on. Even in the back of the room, I can hardly see what's going on. So many things I can't know. Yes, what? Something needed? Translation? You're doing translation. Is there some arrangement that's needed for translation?
Yeah, it's going on.
Okay. In what language is it going on?
Hindi.
Hindi.
English.
Okay. And everyone knows anyone who needs Hindi anuvad? Hindi anuvad chahiye?
Jisko Hindi anuvad chahiye, piche Vilasa Ashram Prabhu de rahe hain anuvad.
So we're in anxiety, at least in part, because we don't know what's gone on in the past. We have a very unclear idea about the present and the future also, we don't know. Even our history, it's supposed to tell us about the past, but that history is largely, we don't really know how much of that history is true, how much of it is untrue. We read about some war or this or that. And of course the history is written by those who won the war. But there's another side to the story that's not published. So we get a partial understanding of anything. You never get a complete history. But Krishna says, I know everything about the past. Not just summary, not just one side of the story, not just the part that was propagated. I know everything. And the present also, I know everything. Everything. Imagine. We hardly know what's going on in our one little corner. Even what's going on in our one little corner, we don't really fully understand. We know to some extent. But Krishna says, I know everything about all the living beings. How much Krishna knows? not only about his own previous appearances. We don't know about our own previous lifetimes. Krishna knows all about his previous appearances and about the appearance of all the other living beings. Whatever he wants to know, he knows. And the future also he knows. Vedaham samatitani, vartamanani, the present, he knows. And bhavishyani, what will happen in the future? We don't know, otherwise we'd invest all of our, you know, money in the winning stocks or the horses that were going to win the race. We don't know. Bhavishyani chabhutani. But Krishna knows. Because he's transcendentally powerful, because he's beyond material conditioning, because his body is not made of the three modes of material nature like our body. Therefore he knows. But mam tu veda na kashchana. Hardly anyone knows me. Mam tu veda na kashchana. So many people who say, yes, yes, I know Krishna. But do they know? Unlike the ordinary human being, Lord Krishna clearly says that he completely knows what happened in the past, what is happening in the present, and what will happen in the future. In the fourth chapter, we've seen that Lord Krishna remembers instructing Vibhishan, the sun god, millions of years ago. Imam Vibhashvate Yogam Proktavan Amatvayam. He remembers. And Krishna knows every living entity because he's situated in every living being's heart as the Supersoul. But despite his presence in every living entity as Supersoul and his presence as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the less intelligent, even if able to realize the impersonal Brahma, cannot realize Sri Krishna as the Supreme Person. Certainly the transcendental body of Sri Krishna is not perishable. He is just like the sun, and Maya is like a cloud. In the material world, we can see that there's the sun, there are clouds, and different stars and planets. The clouds may cover all these in the sky temporarily, but this covering is only apparent in our limited vision. The sun, moon, and stars are not actually covered. Similarly, Maya cannot cover the Supreme Lord. By his internal potency, he is not manifest to the less intelligent class of men. As it is stated in the third verse of this chapter, out of millions and millions of men, some try to become perfect in this human form of life. And out of thousands and thousands of such perfected men, hardly one can understand what Lord Krishna is. Even if one is perfected by realization of impersonal Brahma or localized Paramatma, he cannot possibly understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, without being in Krishna consciousness. So one reason why don't we understand Krishna? We don't want to understand Krishna. Because if Krishna is there, then we have to surrender. If Krishna is there, then we have to surrender. We have to straighten out our act. So we'll accept. Either we'll say that there's no God. If there's no God, then I can do any mischief I want. That's very nice. Or God is impersonal. Which really comes to not very much different. Really doesn't come to much different. There's God, but God is something impersonal with no form, no qualities, no desires, no ultimate power. In fact, I'm also, please no photos, please no photos, please no photos. It's not a photo opportunity. One doesn't become self-realized by taking photos. Sorry. Thank you. And getting flashes in your face is distracting, so no problems. And what were we talking about before the photo? Yeah, so if God is impersonal, then we don't have to surrender. And in fact, if sarva kalavidam brahma, everything is brahma, and aham brahmasmi, I'm also brahma, then I'm also God. That logic goes. That everything is God, I'm also God, and therefore, extending the logic, whatever I do is divine. I can do whatever I like, because ultimately there's no higher authority than me. That will come. The logic is very bad, that we're all Indians, and I'm Indian, therefore I'm the Prime Minister. Prime Minister is an Indian, I'm an Indian, therefore I'm also the Prime Minister. That's the logic. Krishna says, everything is God, I'm also part of everything. This body, it's all the body. So the finger says, yes, I'm the whole body. No, finger can also say, I'm the body. But the finger can't say, I'm the whole body. Krishna says, I'm the complete whole. He's the complete whole. And Purna, he's complete. And the living beings are also complete, but as parts of the Supreme Complete, not as the whole complete. But we're thinking that because I'm also Brahma, I'm also the Supreme. Although I can't remember, what to speak of my previous life, I can't remember where I put the keys to my car. But I'm supreme. So even if you think that you're supreme, then all right, you're supreme and Krishna's supreme, but Krishna's the supreme who knows everything, past, present, and future. And we're the supreme who can't remember where he put the keys to his car. That means there's two different kinds of supremes. Of course, then you can't say supreme, because the definition of supreme is no one equal, no one greater. Asama urdhva. No one is equal to the Supreme. Otherwise, what's the meaning of Supreme? But Krishna says that, or Arjuna also says, that no one is equal to you, no one is one with you, in the 11th chapter. So, we're parts of Krishna. And Krishna's, but we're denying Krishna, or we don't know Krishna because we don't want to know. We're happier with the idea that there's no God, or the idea that God is impersonal. And we don't actually want to, so I'll do my own business. And I won't consider God, because what is God? Everything is God. But Krishna says, I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Parameshwara. And every living being is part of me, Mami Bamsa Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. But he's Yoga Maya Samavrata. Naham Prakasha Sarvasya, Yoga Maya Samavrata. Krishna says, I'm completely covered by yoga maya. Now what? The cows have come from Vrindavan. That's good. Very auspicious that the cows pass by. So yoga maya samavrata. Completely covered. Covered means covered from our vision. Not that Krishna is covered. Krishna is Prabhupada gives the example of the sun in the sky. It's not never covered. But it appears that the sun is covered by the clouds today. Because we're covered. because we're covered. Mudho yam navijana timame vyaparamabhi. Who doesn't understand Krishna? The people who are like donkeys. What is the business of the donkey? Work hard, work hard, work hard, work hard. They're spending their whole lives working hard, working hard, working hard, working hard. And why don't they understand Krishna? Not even interested. There are so many things that we don't understand because we're not interested. I don't understand nuclear physics because I'm not very interested. I don't understand so many other things that don't interest me. They don't interest me, so I don't study them. But does it matter? If I don't study nuclear physics, I don't understand nuclear physics, my life is not really going to be the worse for it. And so many other great games. Well, most of the stuff people learn in school, if they didn't learn it, it wouldn't matter. Avidya. Actually, the schools are mostly places of ignorance. They teach you so many things. American history, as taught in the American schools, it's very important. And it's mostly lies, actually. And you go to someplace else, Peru, and their Peruvian history is very important. And of course, it's mostly lies, again. So if we skip so much of this so-called knowledge of the material world, actually we don't lose anything. But if we miss knowledge of Krishna, we've missed the most important thing. We've missed the most important thing. Because my whole problem of life is that I've forgotten my relationship with Krishna. Therefore I'm suffering in this material world. Ichcha dvesha samuttena dvandva mohena parata. Sarvabhutani sammoha, sargayanti parampara. The next verse Krishna will say. That we're all involved in what? Ichcha dvesha. What is ichcha? Ichcha? Desire. And dvesha? Yeah, Srila Prabhupada actually says envy. But his use of the word envy is a little unusual. Because usually envy means you have something and I want it. And I'm unhappy because you have it and I don't. But Srila Prabhupada's use of envy is a little different. It has to do with an older meaning of the word. Usually it means, in Prabhupada's usage, hatred, antipathy. It's the opposite of ichcha. Ichcha means desire, I want it. And dvesha means I don't want anything to do with it. Ichcha dvesha. And we're busy like that. We want to go to some place that's comfortable, and we want to avoid the uncomfortable places. We want to have good health and avoid bad health. We want to be with beautiful women, and we don't want anything to do with ugly women. We want to have good food, and we don't want to have food that we don't like. Everything's, I like it, I don't like it. 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 And we're all busy with trying to get what we like and trying to avoid what we don't like. And meanwhile, Maya is busy working to make sure that we get exactly what we deserve, which usually involves big, heaping servings of what we don't like. And even Maya is so clever that she dresses up what we don't like as what we do like. And so we're running after what we don't like, thinking that is what we want. Huh? Does Maya work that way? So many examples might come to mind. Prabhupada gives some examples how the fish is seeing the bait and thinking, I like it. But actually, it's suffering, which he doesn't like. But the one thing appears to be the other thing. Or the deer runs out into the desert thinking that it's nice out there because he sees water. Some animal sees water in the desert and goes there. There's no water, it's illusion. But he was all right where he is, but he goes out there and dies. Or the moth sees a nice little candle flame and sees it's so beautiful, so attractive. I like it. And flies in and dies. He was all right where he was. But he's thinking, this is what I like, and he doesn't know it's the opposite of what he wants. Maya works. I'll give you another example that I had a, actually a godbrother. He got married to a very young and beautiful girl. She was very slender and very nice. Young girl, actually, very beautiful. And as soon as they got married, she began to eat and eat and eat. And soon she was big and with a temper to match her size. And his life was, wait a second, where was that beautiful girl? Huh? I like, I don't like, I like, I don't like, I like, I don't like. So we're thinking, Krishna consciousness means to get free from I like, I don't like. The materialistic person, it's all about this I like, that I don't like. It's all based on that. But Krishna consciousness is based on what Krishna likes. Prabhupada went to America because America is so nice. Because he wanted to see, I'd like to go touring. I don't like Vrindavan. No. But my Guru Maharaj has some work for me. Krishna has some business. So let me go. Taking so much trouble. Not considering, I like, I don't like, I like, I don't like. It's my duty, let me go. This is Krishna consciousness. Above ichcha and dvesha. And what is that ichcha and dvesha? Ichcha dvesha samutena dvandva mohena. Dvandva mohena means duality and illusion, or the illusion that proceeds from these dualities of I like and I don't like. We're all bewildered by these things. My life is for getting what I like. You go down the... I drove from Abu Dhabi this morning. These big posters, all about I like. They're showing, beautiful young people living in luxury apartments, and what are those things called? Those motor little speed boats. And I like, I like, I like. The picture of your life, all the things that you like, if you just spend money and live here. And people are focused on that. But Krishna says no. If you go after what you like, what you don't like is going to come with it. Something like a coin. You can't just say, I like heads. If you have a coin, it's going to have heads, it's going to have tails. It's always like that. Or Prabhupada's the example of the hen. The hen gives eggs, but the hen eats. You can't say, I'll just keep the egg-giving portion, thank you very much. Both sides are there. So as soon as we're in this duality of I like and I don't like, what I like may sometimes come, but what I don't like comes with it. Necessarily. It's just set up, material nature is set up that way. And I'm bouncing around trying to find the situation where everything I like is going to be there and nothing that I don't like, and it's not possible. And because I'm busy in this duality of liking and not liking, liking and disliking, dvandva mohina, bewildered, sarva bhutani sammoha, I'm completely bewildered and I forget about Krishna. I'm so busy looking for what I want and trying to avoid what I don't want that I forget my real business in life, which is to revive my relationship with Krishna. actually everything that I like, I'll find with Krishna. But I'm trying to find it independently, and therefore I'm suffering. Sarvabhutani sammoha, sarge yanti paramtapa. Because of this like, don't like, we're taking birth again and again in this material existence. Sarge means material creation and destruction. Sarge yanti paramtapa. So our real business is to come to Krishna. Now that will make us happy. Mam tu veda kashchana. But no one knows Krishna because everyone's preoccupied with Maya. Maya says, aren't I fascinating? I'm so interesting. I'm so interesting. When Gop Kumar in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, one boy, he was going higher and higher to different regions of the universe, Brahmaloka. First he went to the Svargaloka, then the Rishiloka, then the Brahmaloka, Shivaloka. He came finally to the covering, total covering of the universe. And there he met Maya in person. And Maya in person said, why go anywhere else? Whatever you want, you can find here. Whatever you want, you can find here. If you want material happiness, everything for your material happiness is here. If you want liberation, I can give you liberation. Why go anywhere else? And in that total material energy, there was very beautiful, everything was this beautiful bluish color, almost like Krishna's color. And it seemed very attractive. But Gop Kumar excused himself, no, I have some other work. He left. But Maya's very expert. Maya's always trying to offer us, this you'll like. This is very interesting. The scholars are busy studying something very, very interesting. And while they're studying something so very interesting, their life is disappearing. They reach old age and they've studied so many things, but they don't know who they are, they don't know the purpose of their life. The businessman, there's so many interesting business opportunities, so many wonderful things, but finally his life is gone. And he doesn't know the future, he doesn't know where he's going next. Doesn't know where he's going next, what will happen. So he doesn't know Krishna because he hasn't taken the trouble to understand Krishna. So Madgata Prana, Madparayana, Vasudeva Prana. Krishna consciousness means making Krishna the real business of life. And everything else is in its proper place in relationship to that. My family life, my career, my education, my home, my everything, is in its proper place when it's in relationship to Krishna. And when it's not in relationship to Krishna, it's useless. In relationship to Krishna means, everything has a relationship with Krishna, but it means that our real business is to revive our Krishna consciousness. That's the real business of human life. Narto yascheha karma bhi. Narto yascheha karma bhi. Nothing else is the business of human life. Everything else is a distraction. Everything else is a distraction. So it's natural for us to be distracted in the material world, because we're distracted since time immemorial. But the chanting process is to focus the mind on Krishna, to purify the mind, to free us from so many superfluous attractions, and to give us the opportunity to focus our mind on Krishna, focus our love on Krishna, give our service to Krishna, and finally go back to Krishna. That's our purpose. Hare Krishna. Are there some questions today? What question do you have? If there's no questions, I'll leave early. I have a plane to catch. I wonder who might have some question bubbling up somewhere. There's so many Indians that you meet.
And they don't want to get into the details, like of really knowing, like reading Prabhupada's books. Or
they don't want to get into the details of reading Prabhupada's books.
They say they know Krishna.
They know Krishna. Yes, this is great. I know Krishna.
Yes.
And what do you know? Krishna is one of many gods.
Yes.
Krishna is a manifestation of Brahma. Krishna is an avatar.
Yes, it's very difficult, especially, I shouldn't say that, but it's more in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya that it happens.
In Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, it happens more. Well, let us consider that. Of course, in the Sri Sampradaya, the worship is directed to Sriman Narayan. And Narayan is the supreme personality of Godhead, no doubt. So we're not so unhappy if they're worshipping Narayan. We're pleased. That's good. That's good. But there's a special attraction in Krishna. There's a special attraction in Krishna. If they want to worship Narayan, we don't object. We encourage worship Narayan more. The real problem is that so often people are also not worshiping Narayan. Only superficially they're worshiping Narayan. Maybe some rituals, but have they developed their love for Narayan in the Narayaniya and other shastras? The goal is to actually develop love for Narayan and be fully engaged in the service of Narayan. So whether they're doing that, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's contribution is Krishna Prema Pradayate. He's giving love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, especially through the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. So it's proving practical, and even the great devotees of Lord Narayan become attracted. What is that? Ittam Bhuta Guna Hari. Krishna is so attractive that the impersonalists become attracted, and even the devotees of Narayan become attracted to Krishna. Even Narayan becomes attracted to Krishna. In Srimad Bhagavatam, we find what happened. There were some, there was one couple, Brahmin couple, and their sons, they would have a child, and the child would immediately die. They were trying to have a child, but as soon as they had a child, the child would die. So they began complaining to the king. The king is just like I saw in the newspaper the other day, that Sheikh Mohammed said that we want the best standard of living in the world for my citizens, for my people. So actually, taking it as a fact, he's interested in the best welfare. He feels responsible for the welfare of his people. So the king has to be like that. So this happened to be in the kingdom of Dwarka. So the Dwarka or Hastinapur? Hastinapur. So he began complaining that what kind of nonsense king is here? The son is supposed to outlive the father, and my sons are all dying before me. So it means there's no kshatriya in this kingdom. He began a campaign that the king is a nonsense. He's not doing his job. Otherwise, how could this be going on? He was outraged. So Arjuna said, well, maybe there's King Ugrasena and he can't do the job. And maybe, even there's Krishna and he doesn't seem to be able to do anything. But I'm here. Don't say there are no kshatriyas. I'm here with my Gandiva bow and I'll protect your child. I vow to protect your child. I'll throw myself in the fire if I can't protect your child. He took such a strong vow. Then the Brahmin was a little encouraged. Well, maybe kind of sounds good. So when his wife was again to deliver, Arjun was informed and he staked out the place. He was seeing on every side what was going on. He had his weapons at the ready. So if anything were to happen, he'd be there. Even death can't come and take the child. Then, as soon as the child was born, Arjuna's weapons flew up into the sky. The child also flew up into the sky and disappeared. And that was that. Arjuna couldn't do anything. Then Arjuna began, don't worry, it's not over yet. I'll find your child wherever he may be. So he searched out the whole world and he couldn't find the child. So because he was a kshatriya, he had to stick to his vow. So he was ready to enter the fire. I failed. I gave a promise. I failed to fulfill my promise. Now I have to throw myself in the fire. And then Krishna came. Arjuna, this doesn't look very good for me. Because I'm your friend, I'm known as your friend, and if you throw yourself in the fire, it reflects badly on me. Let's look, there's still some places to look. So get on my chariot, we'll go looking some more places. So with Krishna's chariot, they went through the coverings of the universe until finally they came into the Brahmajyoti, and they saw in one corner of the Brahmajyoti, some storm was brewing, and they went out there, and they saw there was a palace there, and they entered into the palace, and they saw the Mahavishnu was there. Lying on this. So, Krishna approached, Arjuna approached, then the Mahavishnu said that, Krishna, you've come, finally you've come. I was so much eager to see you that actually I stole all these sons of the Brahmin just so that you would have to come here and I would get your darshan. This is found in Srimad Bhagavatam in the 10th canto. Even Mahavishnu, even Narayan himself is eager to see Krishna. So, that eagerness to see Krishna is there even in the Lord, and what to speak of us. So we should try to develop that eagerness, and that will happen by Hari Kirtan. Oh, I know what I was thinking. So our Tirupati Mandir opened last year, and the rituals were performed by the first-class Brahmins from Tirumala itself. And they came, and because they're very expert in all of these rituals, no one can surpass them in performing these rituals. But because the temple was a Krishna temple, and because so many devotees came from all over the world, it was a unique experience for them. They're used to opening temples and everybody chants the mantras and they throw the grains and they perform the rituals and everybody knows what they're doing and it's very pakka. But they were not used to seeing thousands of people chanting the holy name of the Lord and dancing in ecstasy. That was a new thing for them. And they were enjoying so much installing these. You could see just by their faces how much they're, it's not like the usual, we know when something is routine and usual, you do it, you're happy you did it. But they were enjoying like anything, installing these deities and taking part in the program with so many devotees from all over, chanting Hare Krishna and dancing. There was one man, he's actually, his position is very important. He has the key to Venkateshwara's altar. He's such an important person. He has the key, he's the man. If you want, before the pujaris can come and worship the Lord, they have to come to him for the key. And he also came, first he was invited, so he came, at some portion the rituals were going on. And it's like an official visit, you come, you give your blessings, you go. But it was such a unique thing that he came, and then he stayed, and then again he came. And when the deity, actual day of the installation, again he came. And his comment later was that I've heard about ISKCON, but now I'm seeing what is ISKCON. Huh? I'd heard about ISKCON, and now I'm seeing what is ISKCON. So he was so happy with it. So we're not limited that if you have devotion for Ram or you have devotion for Narayan, then you're not welcome. Only the Krishnawalas are welcome. Everyone is welcome. Because Krishna is not different from them. This finally we find in Kaviraj Goswami. He gives in Chaitanya Charitamrita a lot of Shastric evidence that actually Krishna is the origin of all the other forms. Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. Then after proving it, he says, but it doesn't matter. If you think that Krishna is a manifestation of Vishnu, Vishnu is a manifestation of Krishna. Finally, Vishnu and Krishna are the same. Materially we make so many distinctions. But Krishna is absolute. What is that? Ramadi Murti Shukala Niyamena Tishtanan Avatara Makaro Bhuvaneshu. Krishna Swayam. Actually, he's Advaitam Achutam Anadim Anantarupam. He has Anantarupa, unlimited forms, but finally he's Advaita, he's one. There's no duality. We were talking about duality. I like, I don't like, I like it. In the spiritual world, there's no duality, and in the Lord, there's no duality. There's not that Krishna is different from Vishnu, Vishnu is different from Nrisimha, Nrisimha is different from Ram. They're all one personality of Godhead. But according to our method of approach, someone is more interested in Narayan, someone is more interested in Nrisimha Dev, someone is more interested in Lord Ram, someone is more interested in Krishna. So let them come and join in the kirtan. The great acharyas like Ramanuja and others, they've all worshipped Krishna. They haven't said, no, I'm a Narayan devotee, I can't attend Krishna kirtan, I can't worship Krishna, I'm a exclusive Narayan worshipper. They made no such mundane distinctions. So you're a Narayan man, come on and join the kirtan. Narayan is also Krishna, and we don't have to fight over this or that. Why Maya plays the major role in material life? She's in charge of material life. Maya means material. As soon as you say material life, it means life in which we're forgetting Krishna. That's immediately Maya? That's immediately Maya. Oh, look at all these questions. How Maya can give liberation? Maya can't give liberation. She's Maya after all, so she says, I'll give you everything you want. I'll give you liberation. I'll give you this. Just stay. I'll give you a nice wife. I'll give you a nice family. I'll give you good health. I'll give you happiness. I'll give you satisfaction. I'll give you a life free from anxieties. I'll give you money. I'll give you this. I'll give you that. Just don't go. She's Maya, after all. Maya means that which is not. So it's not true, but we believe it. That's Maya. What is the significance of the paraphernalia for doing RT, especially the chamar being the yak's tail, peacock's feather, etc.? They're for honoring Krishna, just like a king. The king is, you've seen all the pictures, the king has got, he's being fanned, especially as a symbol of royalty, this yak tail fan, and peacock feathers and so on. These are all paraphernalia for worshipping, for honoring a great person. And Krishna is the greatest person, so he's received with all of these items. Yes. In the Hindu or Vedic civilization, there are so many gods, 33 crore. How did they come into existence? That you'll read in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second canto and third canto. Krishna, from Krishna comes, well, gradually comes the Purusha avatars, Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Shirdakshaya Vishnu. From Lord Vishnu comes Brahma, who's born on the lotus flower. So the Lord is known as Padmanabha. And from Brahma, gradually, all of these different Indra, Chandra, so many demigods are expanded. Something like, yeah, Brahma is the chief contractor for creating the universe. And you know what it is, when you have a contractor, then he gets so many assistants. Not that the contractor himself builds everything, but he engages someone for the, you get one contractor, he engages somebody for the plumbing, somebody for the air conditioning, somebody for this, somebody for that, somebody. So for the air conditioning, you get one god. For the water, they get Varuna. For the air conditioning, you get the Maruts. They take care of all the different kinds of wind blowing. For the lighting system, you get Indra, you get Chandra, and the sun god Surya. So gradually through Brahma, all of these different subcontractors are manifest. Most of the sects of religion propagate the impersonal form of the Supreme Being. How valid is their belief? And how further will they progress spiritually? God is impersonal, that's valid. But they don't know that beyond the impersonal feature, there's a personal feature also. Or they do know, but they have a vague idea. God is the supreme person, but how, you know, what kind of person, they don't know. They have a vague means practically impersonal. If I don't know you, I suppose I don't know someone, and they say, you have to go to Dubai and you'll meet one Mr. Rao. So, because I don't know Mr. Rao, I don't really have a clear picture. I don't have a personal, but once I meet Mr. Rao, then I know this is Mr. Rao and he's from such and such town and this is his wife and he has this many children and he's doing this and he's doing that and he likes this and he doesn't like that and he's so many things. A very intelligent person. So many things I'll know. Then I'll have a clear, if you say, oh, did you meet Mr. Rao? Oh yes, I met him, and you'll start talking about him and you'll know 100 different things about him. But till you meet him, you'll have some idea of Rao, yeah, must be South Indian. But there's a million South, you know, any man there could be Mr. Rao. So there's something like that just like that Atri Rishi, he was praying, may the Supreme Controller of the Universe be pleased with me. And he was doing severe tapasya. So finally Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara appeared before him. But then he was bewildered. Well, which one of you did I call for? Because he didn't have a clear picture. Anyway, don't worry, we'll all become your son. So they became a combined Tathatraya. But generally, impersonal ideas are going on for lack of clear knowledge. So therefore, we're trying to give that clear knowledge. We'll try to take the last two questions and then I have to go. Is the material world eternal? No. If eternal, then we don't get that far because it's not eternal. Bhutva, bhutva, praliyate. It's created and destroyed again and again. How does the love for Krishna become constant and something, day by day? Inclusive, incisive? By practice. What is that? Abhyasa yoga yoktena. By practice everything comes. Love, we can't expect, you know, just all of a sudden. But by practice, the Shravanadi Shuddha Chitti Kariya Yuga. What is that? Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhyukabu. The love for Krishna is already there. It's covered by Maya and Shaito Dharpana Marjanam. By chanting Hare Krishna, the mirror of the mind is being cleansed. And finally, the love for Krishna will one day appear, or gradually it will appear more and more and more. Shreya Kareva Chandrika Abhitarana. It will become like the full moon. And how do we develop love for chanting of the holy name of the Lord? Just do it. If you do it, even, I don't know, but they're telling me to do it, I guess I'll have to do it. If you do it, then the next thing is, you'll like it. Just like a child, he learns to read. How does he learn to read? He's forced. The parents say, you sit down and you have to read. So he's by force practically he's reading. But then once he gets good at it and he gets a taste for it, would you stop reading and do this work? You're always reading. What's wrong with you? He gets a taste for it. Becomes very nice. He likes to read on and on and on. So how do you get that taste for reading? By reading. You read and you'll feel like reading. So by chanting Hare Krishna, even, all right, I don't have so much taste, but we're told that some taste is there, and you go on chanting and you'll get it. So all right, let me do it as a matter of obligation or with some faith in the words of the acharyas, the words of shastras, let me do it, or by seeing that others are doing it and they're enjoying. Just like a child, he doesn't know how to ride a bicycle. But he sees all the other children, they're riding and they're enjoying. So he thinks, well, let me ride. But then he finds out that learning to ride a bicycle means falling on the ground. You have to try it, and then the first thing you fall. And then you get up again, and then you fall. And you get up again, and you fall. But then he thinks, well, what's the use of learning to ride? But if he sticks with it, he'll find it's very nice. And it's natural, very easy, you can ride and ride and ride. And as the other boys are having fun, you'll also have fun. So in the same way, with a little patience, enthusiasm, determination, in the association of the other devotees, let me chant Hare Krishna, and we'll get a taste for chanting Hare Krishna. It will become more and more nice. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. All glory to the Lord.
Just one quick announcement before you go. Hare Krishna. Maharaj is going to Kuwait. He's going to Kuwait today, or Kunaidish, and he's back on Sunday.